Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
King of Twitch says special teams is where the Texans will shine. I think he's on to something. King of football, really. John Weeks, future Ring of Honor selection, is your deep snapper. That matters. That's important. Really like that they brought Kaimi Fairbairn back. He can make some kicks. He can be really good. Plus, the Texans actually do sign players that are special teams guys, like Dare, Eric Murray, some of the linebackers.
Special teams, special players, Jeremy.
Special teams, special play, special players. Monday.
Better coaching that was previously.
I'm blanking on who their punter is.
It's the guy from the Chiefs.
Oh, that's right. The Taylor Swift friend with the long hair. Tommy Townsend.
Yeah,
he was seen after a playoff game last year, like celebrating with T. Swift. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that guy. I forgot that he was the Texans punter for a second. Yeah, that matters. You know what else is interesting? The Chiefs, by the way. They were talking about how they might use Justin Reed as their kickoffer because of the new rules.
He's got a big leg.
Because of the new rules, They think that obviously Butker can kick it out of the back of the end zone, but now that the ball will be placed at the 30 with the new rule, so teams are kind of reluctant to do that. You can't move until the ball is caught, so it like negates hang time altogether. So you don't need a guy that's going to loft it up in the air and allow the coverage team to get down there because they can't move until the ball is touched anyways. So you're going to have teams that once you try to kick it deep, but not past the goal line where it could be kneeled down for a touchback to the 30. And the Chiefs special teams coordinator was talking about how they might use Justin Reed as the kickoff guy because it's going to be very important to have an 11th guy that can tackle the ball carrier.
I can understand the tackling part of it, but if I recall correctly, when he did have to kick off, I thought he was still blowing it out of the end zone or kicking it really well. Because
I don't remember.
Could get a guy, ideally, used to be a bad thing, but if you could get a guy that kicks it right like to the goal line.
Well, the kick's going to be from the 20-yard line now. So, no, it was from the 35. 35. Safety kicks will be from the 20-yard line. I read the internet real wrong for a second. But that's interesting. Like, I wonder if the Texans are at all going to experiment with the idea of using Dare as their kickoff guy. Because they would have an extra tackler. I doubt that they do. But if the Chiefs are thinking about doing it with Reed, why wouldn't you think about doing it with Dare? Like, at least in the preseason, see what it looks like.
I like the fact that you have another viable tackler on the field as well, too, with the new rules. So, yeah, that's fine.
That's what he was saying. He said that, like, 70% of the kickoffs, like in the XFL, the kicker comes into play. And that's why they want the extra tackler. I hate the new kickoff rule.
And on the flip side of that, you don't want your kicker, who could be a valuable resource that needs to make a kick and can give you offensive points at big-time moments. You don't want to get him hurt. Because we've seen what a disaster it is when you get a kicker hurt.
Yeah. I don't like the new kickoff rule, by the way. I just want to go ahead and be on record saying that.
I'm with you, too. It's too gimmicky. I understand they want to get the kickoffs back as a viable part of the game. But it's too gimmicky. It's kind of like the runner on second base to me in baseball. I don't need that much. Football has been fine scoring enough points and being exciting whether there's a kickoff return or not.
I don't like the extra point rule either. I don't like the way that they moved it back. I'm not a fan of that at all.
I think they should have kept it as well.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, here's the 1 point extra point that's going to be longer than 50% of field goals that are worth 3.
If you had a sport that was boring with no scoring and it was, like a lot of people complain about soccer or hockey, whether there's a shootout or not at the end. You look at football, they had no problem scoring points and keeping people completely glued to their seats and occupied if they didn't have kickoffs and they didn't have longer extra points.
Yeah.
It wasn't broke. Don't fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't a whole fan of it. A very big fan of it. No reason the Texans offense should ever have to punt. You're right. I don't think that the Texans are ever going to have to punt the football. What about Tommy Townsend, though? He goes from like one high powered offense, although the Chiefs weren't as high powered last year as they have been in the past, going to what you hope is another high powered offense. And then this texter says, so good to hear y'all's voices. Who were the chuckleheads on during the 11 hour lame bad word radio? That was Greenberg, wasn't it?
No, he wasn't there today.
Oh, so it was Greenberg's replacement?
It was Greenberg's replacement and Hembo.
Never heard of him.
Who, you know, Hembo's the stat guy.
Never heard of Hembo.
Hembo gives all the trivia questions to try and stump the people on ESPN.
Stump the swamp?
Sounds like you're a P1 of Hembo.
Well, in the morning when I got the TV on and I'm watching it in the mornings on the treadmill, it's freaking...
Look at that flex.
Yeah, there it is.
I'm at the gym
guy. We need more drops to try and embarrass me on the air.
How does that embarrass you?
That's what you guys get off on.
How does it embarrass you that you work out?
And the Barkley ones and the treadmill ones. I watch ESPN in the morning so that I can still... I'm still like working per se and getting if I missed anything while I'm in the gym.
I don't think
that's work. And it goes from Greeny to Stephen A. And they're talking... Yes, it is, because they're talking about what happened last. Maybe I missed a game or fell asleep during a late game. Something happened.
Talking Strohs?
And I mean, or baseball or basketball or hockey. Not that we talk about
exactly.
Hockey. But, you know, and I'm watching these shows, and Hembo's always trying to stump whoever the sport they're talking about's analyst is on the trivia questions. But it was awful radio. I didn't know that because Dell filled in for John. John was out.
Right.
So then Dell's show just got pushed to national.
Did he get fired, Granato? Is he out?
No,
out?
He's just using one of his many vacation days.
How many vacation days does he have? 30? 30 vacation days?
Not as many as Palillo.
At least.
I want to be Granato when I grow up. But saying that you worked out is not embarrassing you. That's good. It's great. It's great that you are, especially somebody your age. It's very important to have a little bit of exercise.
So what I didn't do this morning? I didn't work out.
Kick me.
I didn't work out either.
Yeah, I didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm anti-exercise, though. Are you?
No, I'm not anti-exercise. I just didn't.
Yeah, I probably should work out more. I should be a little bit. We should all aspire to be a little bit more like Blankers, quite frankly. 713-780-ESPN. Anyways, back to the topic at hand. Are you more pro offense or pro defense when it comes to the Texans? Do you think their offense or their defense is going to be better this year?
To me personally, I feel like it's the offense, and I feel that way because of the fact that not only did you upgrade significantly at certain positions, in my opinion, and I do believe Mixon's going to be good. I believe that when you add Diggs to Tank and to Nico, and the fact that you got Schultz back, and really the offensive line to me comes down to, because I believe Juice is going to be your center. I believe it's just about left guard, and can Kenyon Green take the position finally and do what he's supposed to do, or can they find somebody else? If that's the only hole they're trying to fill, when CJ's in his second year and he's got so much more to work with, and Bobby Slowick, who's a great offensive mind, has so much more to work with, it should be a show not that you don't want to miss. On the defensive side of the football, not that they're not going to be significantly better, but I'm watching the two corners they brought in to see if they're going to be able to fill those roles. I have questions about both safeties, and I got to see how they're going to fill those roles. As much as you increased the pass rush and added bodies that can really play, I got to make sure that the two defensive tackles are going to be who they wanted them to be. So there's more question marks for me on defense than there are on offense, though I think both are going to be significantly improved.
I'm a chain is as strong as its weakest link kind of guy when it comes to football. I think you can cover things up a little bit more offensively, like if you have a really good quarterback, than you can defensively. Because defensively, okay, we're going to attack that one link. You have a bad corner. We're going to find a way to zero in on that matchup. We're going to find a way to attack it. And the Texans play some zone, so they can try to cover that up a little bit too. But I think it's easier to cover up holes offensively than I do defensively. I don't think the Texans have many holes on the offensive side. Although whenever I see a slim down Kenyon Green whenever Sarge posts videos of him, it's great that he slimmed down. The only person that I see whenever I look at Kenyon Green is Kyle Hamilton. It makes me sick, and I hate that, because I like Kenyon Green. I enjoyed our conversation with him when he came in. He's from Atascocita, my old neck of the woods, so I like Kenyon Green. It makes me sick that every time I look at Kenyon Green, the immediate thing that goes into my mind was, could have been Kyle Hamilton. I hate that I do that with Kenyon Green. I need to go to counseling or something. But on the offensive end, I don't really see holes on this team. Like, even last year, whenever they had this patchwork offensive line, they were able to like kind of still get through. So if you stay healthy on the offensive line, I like Tunsil. Kenyon Green, I think, is probably going to win the left guard job. Juice Scruggs, Shaq Mason, Titus Howard, that's a fine offensive line. That's a good enough offensive line for what you have from a skill point of view. C.J. Stroud, Stroud in year two. I don't expect a regression. You have tons of targets in the receiver room. You brought back Dalton Schultz, who's very comfortable with C.J. Stroud. Brevin Jordan was fine last year whenever he had to play. And then your third tight end's the guy that was the safety net for C.J. Stroud at Ohio State. Running back's a concern a little bit, but I think with a good offensive line and a good offense, you could put anybody at running back. On the defensive end, like, I don't have as many questions about the one tech as a lot of people do, but that's a question. Cornerback number two, like you mentioned, that's a question. I think nickel can be a question unless Lasser just, like, wins the job. Jimmy Ward, injury prone. Jalen Petrie didn't produce to the level we thought he was going to produce. I think there's a lot more questions defensively than I do offensively. I think that this offense has top five potential in the NFL. I think the defense has, like, top 10 potential. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go, like, the other side, like, what is the floor? I think the floor on the offense is, like, top 10, quite frankly. I think the floor on the defense is an average defense in the NFL.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. I think that when you're looking at it, too, Ward's got to stay healthy if he's going to be the piece that DeMeco wants him to be, and he's getting older. If King is going to be your nickel guy, at least as a fallback plan, because he played good late in the season, he's getting older. And as you're quick to mention, and you're right, the fact they were willing to cut him a year ago. So if you're willing to cut him, and now suddenly because you brought him back late in the season and he held his own and made a couple plays for you, that suddenly he could factor in as a starter? That's a question mark.
Yeah, I don't think I want him to start.
Like, you want to start Lasseter inside?
Yeah, if he's starting, then Lasseter, okay. That's not necessarily true. But if King is starting, that means either Lasseter, Okuda, or Henderson are disappointments. Because they're not starting.
Or Lasseter shows you more what they believed is true, and he shows you on the field that he's fast enough to play outside.
Sure, but I think it's disappointing for Okuda and Henderson, is it not?
Yeah, but I really don't believe that. They think that Okuda or Henderson are really going to be standouts.
Hey, well, if you ask Matt Burke, he thinks that they're long and fast and rangy, but he sounds like Dana Brown a little bit to me.
Right.
yeah, I guess so. I guess if he's your nickel corner and Lasseter just like a stud at your boundary corner opposite of Stingley, I guess that could be a positive. But at the same time, you know what? You know who we sleep on too, actually? The guy that they brought over from New England at the nickel corner spot, and I think the reason they brought him in was so he could be a guy who could contend Miles Bryant. I believe they look at Miles Bryant as the Desmond King replacement. Hmm. I think that they're higher on Miles Bryant than they are on Desmond King, and I think that's why they signed him in free agency and made him a priority. I think he's probably around the same age. Miles Bryant, he's 26.
So there you go. Maybe they feel like, again, if King's getting older and slowing down, that maybe you got to get
younger. Plus, like you said, they cut him. Like, they cut Desmond King a year ago. I think that they view Miles Bryant higher on the nickel corner depth chart than what, like, we do. Because Desmond King was the guy who was playing the position last year at the end of the year. But at the same time, they went out and got Miles Bryant. Now, I understand they brought back Desmond King, too.
It's so weird, too, the way they handle all of that with the secondary. Because remember, they brought in Shaq Griffin, and he played well for a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, he not only fell out of favor, they just instantly cut him, and he wasn't playing bad. And it's just like, no, we're going to turn the page, get somebody else. Then they brought King back in.
Remember, he got loud on Twitter, too.
Oh, he did?
I think that they might have had a falling out. Okay. Yeah, Griffin got mad. He got sideways with the special teams guy, Frank Ross. He was posting on Twitter how Frank Ross was, like, you know, slimy or whatever.
Well, I don't recall that, but that will do it.
Yeah, yeah, he fell out of favor for sure. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Higher on the Texans offense, higher on the Texans defense. Aggie Matt says offense will be more exciting, but defense will be the bigger improvement. I hope so. I hope that is the case. Because if that is the case, if the offense is exciting and they're as good as we think they can be, but the defense is going to be the bigger improvement, I think you have a well-balanced team that has a chance.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that the offense was able to do all that they were able to do with a little less last year means that if they play to that same kind of level or close to it, statistically it's not that much greater. Mm-hmm. That's fine. The defense has a lot to be able to move up on the charts and do.
713-780-ESPN. Is he a St. Louis Cardinal or is he a Cardinal in the Catholic Church? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Y'all, if y'all haven't joined the club at Texas Star Grill Shop, you're doing it wrong. You're missing out. Head to 975grills.com right now. Do it right this second, 975grills.com, or just mention the club when you go into any of the Houston locations. As a member of the club, you'll enjoy special in-store discounts that can't be found anywhere else. The best products in the outdoor cooking world at Texas Star Grill Shop, and they're giving you prices you won't see anywhere when you join the club, 975grills.com. From Traeger to Weber to Napoleon, they have it all. Wood pellet, charcoal, gas, everything. Pizza ovens, flat top grills, whatever you want. And they'll beat any price if you're a club member. And stop falling for this trick, by the way, of walking into these big box stores and you see a grill cheap and you know, you're going to want to buy it. No, you don't want to do that. Educate yourself in the grill game. If you're going to buy a grill in this city, you need to talk to the people at Texas Star Grill Shop first. Even if you don't buy from them, just get educated from them because they're experts in the industry. Full free installation too, by the way. You don't have to worry about 100 pieces in assembly, a box unloaded on your driveway. Full free assembly and delivery for club members from start to finish. Texas Star Grill Shop will be there. How about the outdoor kitchen you've always wanted? 975grills.com. Best in the business, and club members will get special pricing on custom outdoor kitchen with free consultation. The stuff they can do is incredible. Join the club, 975grills.com, for the best barbecue grills at the best price.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What's the one person you think of when you hear this song, this little jingle? Carl Ravage for me, and it makes me sick.
I was going to say Carl Ravage. Yeah.
Makes me want to throw up.
He got very, very choked up.
He did? Why?
Yeah, because it was ALS Day, and they had on Sarah Lang.
Yeah, I can understand that. There's a difference between sports dislike and actual dislike. I do have sports dislike for Carl Ravage, though.
You do?
I'm not sure who is worst at calling a game, Carl Ravage or the play-by-play person for the Oakland A's. She was doing some regional baseball, and she was. I saw a tweet about her today.
How?
I don't know. Maybe it could have been old. Maybe it could have been last year. I don't know for sure. But I saw a video of her calling regional baseball, and the guy hit a home run into the trees. She goes, "What's his favorite color? Green tree."
Oh, no. The Siri one was the one that just pushed it over the top for me.
Yeah, like, that was bad.
The fact that she sets it up with Siri basically, like, going to get him, and then Siri hits a home run on the next pitch, and she goes silent. Like, come on, man.
See, I thought that was already bad to do that, like, whenever it was only one strike in the count. I hadn't realized that he had homered earlier in the game.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he had homered early in the game. So she's like, Siri, it's not your night. He had literally already homered in that game. And then, maybe you do it after a strikeout, after you put him out. Like, that's a little bit more understandable. But after the first strike, what are you talking about? Yeah. And then I love the karma of it.
The calls that I have heard, because I obviously don't seek out A's baseball, the calls that I have heard that we've played on this show and that I've seen on Twitter, not good.
Yeah, I might just go and listen to, like, they do on MLB.com, they do the consolidated game after every game. I might just go watch all of them for the A's to get a little bit of, get some laughter.
Maybe they cut off some of the great stories and calls that you could hear.
They definitely do. Suck. I mean, it is condensed.
Julia could probably do the job right now better than she's doing it, and she's the full-time voice.
I feel like that's disrespectful to Julia to say that.
I think Julia's better than her right now.
I know. I think it's disrespectful to say that about Julia.
Why?
Because that's who you're going to compare Julia to?
No, I'm saying that they would have been better off hiring someone that's a more polished broadcaster like Julia than the person they hired.
All right. Is this guy a St. Louis Cardinal, or is he a Cardinal in the Catholic Church? I'm not Catholic, but I did Google it. A cardinal is a senior member of the clergy of the Catholic Church. Cardinals are created by the Pope and typically hold the title for life. All right.
So
we know that.
They're worldwide, but there are cardinals that are here in Houston.
They're more worldwide than Drake. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're more worldwide than Drake. None of these, I didn't go by city on any of these. All of these are national. They're national, whatever. All right. So is he a St. Louis Cardinal, or is he a Cardinal of the Catholic Church? Who's going first here?
Doesn't matter.
Roger.
I'll go first.
I suck at this game.
I've noticed that Brian always is willing to go first.
Care.
He always goes first. Roger Mahoney.
Roger Mahoney, that sounds like, so this has to be current? This has to be a current Cardinal?
He's on the active roster.
Okay.
Or he is a actively
like, that sounds like a name
Catholic
I've heard.
Church.
That sounds like someone from the Police Academy movies. I'm going to go Catholic Cardinal.
Okay. See, so am I. I think when you get the Mahoneys into it, too, it just seems like the
what are you saying
Irish
the Mahoneys
Catholic.
Do?
The Irish Catholic, Irish old Catholic, school kind of cardinals of the Catholic Church.
What's that one movie that did the deep dive on the Catholic.
About the Boston
Great
Herald.
Movie. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Such a good movie. Yep. One of my favorite movies, actually. All right, you both are right. He is a cardinal of the Catholic Church here in the U.S. of A. Here in the U.S. of A. All right, next one. James Stafford.
James Stafford is also a cardinal in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
I'm going to say St. Louis Cardinal relief pitcher.
Blankers is right. James Stafford is a cardinal in the Catholic Church representing the USA. All right, number three, Sean O'Malley.
I'm going to say St. Louis Cardinal.
I am too. Definitely St. Louis Cardinal.
Sean O'Malley, despite being a UFC champion, is also a cardinal of the Catholic, different Sean O'Malley. It's not Sugar Sean O'Malley. It's a different Sean O'Malley. But Sean O'Malley is a cardinal in the Catholic
Church.
Irish
Catholic name.
I
thought it was a USA.
Should have gone back to it, Joel.
Thought it was a trick.
All right, number four, Thomas Collins.
Tom Collins is...
Not a drink.
I get it. Tom Collins is a St. Louis Cardinal.
I think Jeremy's playing us. He's going to give us all.
I thought about
Catholic,
that too.
He's going to give us all cardinals in the Catholic Church. I'm going cardinal in the Catholic Church.
Tom Collins is a cardinal in the Catholic Church representing Canada. Representing
so
Canada.
Yeah, we're two. Yeah, we're both two and two.
Paul Pappard.
Oh, I'm first here. I'm going to go cardinal in the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
I think we're being played.
Yeah. Paul Pappard is a cardinal in the Catholic Church from France. From France. Luis Raphael.
Cardinal in the Catholic Church.
Cardinal in the Catholic Church.
That is correct. He is a cardinal in the Catholic Church representing Iraq.
Oh.
Final one. Yeah, I know.
Wow. Who knew?
Final one. Ivan Herrera.
You want to say it in unison, Brian?
Sure.
Cardinal in the Catholic Church.
Incorrect. Oh. Ivan Herrera is a catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. You were mostly right. You were mostly right. I thought I was going to get you on that
I'll embarrass myself here instead of you guys.
Ivan Herrera. He's hitting 260 this year and 131
Is he playing now because Wilson broke his arm?
Let's see. How many starts does Herrera? I don't know. It didn't show the starts here. Yeah, it looks like he's been getting every day at bats. I bet you he's in the lineup today. Actually, against the Houston
Astros. I don't know what their other option would be after Wilson Contreras broke his arm.
Yeah, I mean they're not going to carry one catcher, though.
Right. No, I'm saying, I don't think they have three, so.
Let's see, Ivan Herrera, he's in the lineup today. He's batting seventh. Yeah, Chris Carpenter.
So this is on me. I will embarrass myself on this one. I also did a list for today.
Oh, no. Did you have one of these names on here?
And I had Ivan Herrera.
You had Herrera,
on my list,
and you still got it
and
wrong?
And I got it wrong.
Who won?
We tied.
Well, you lost because of that.
I think you lost on tiebreaker on that.
Darn! I'll have the parting.
You got to eat that shame.
But I do admire the honesty because that was funny.
Yep.
You had him on your list and you forgot that he was a cardinal.
Cannot believe I did that. But I did that.
You allowed Brian to impress you that he was going to that I was going to all cardinals.
I had the feeling too, but I was like, no, that sounded like. And then
yeah, he's the only one. All the other ones were cardinals in the Catholic Church because their names were funny. My favorite one was Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley being
sounds
a cardinal
like
in the Catholic
yeah,
Church.
Sounds like he's a political talking head.
I mean, he's a U.S. pound for pound, maybe the best fighter in UFC currently.
That too, yeah.
All right, Mailbag Monday. What are you asking the Killer Bees? Anything is on the table. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5?
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What's your question for the Bees? 713-780-ESPN. Mailbag Monday with the Bees. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena's got a question for the Bees. Pena, what's your question for the Bees?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So my question for this week is, what is the best kind of fry? Like, is it crinkle cut, steak fries, season fries, sweet potato fries? What's y'all's favorite fry? And, hey, Jeremy, I tried Jello Bennett for the first time this weekend. Doesn't miss, man. Good job, man. Thank you. Have a great day.
Told you. Thank you, Pena. Thank you for that live endorsement. It checks in the mail. But yeah, General Ben does not miss. It's fantastic. I wonder what kind he had. Text in, Pena. Let me know if you had the vodka, the gin, the bourbon, or the whiskey. What's your favorite kind of fry?
I think I've said this before. My favorite kind of fry are the Bex fries where there's a little of the skin on and you get them extra crispy. I just think they can't miss. They're phenomenal. My fast food fry has always been McDonald's. But I think they kind of slipped a little bit.
Depends on when you get them.
Yeah.
Depends on when you get them. Like, is that just a straight fry? It is June. Like, so yours would be probably a little seasoned. I don't remember the...
Beck's Prime has the skin on at least one of the cuts, and then I don't think it's seasoned per se, other than salt, but maybe there is a little something on there.
I like all fries.
Me too.
I'm probably eliminating... Like, sweet potato fries, I don't really love. I'll eat them, but I don't really love them.
I don't know.
You don't get a belly like this without eating everything. But sweet potato fries are out for me. I like seasoned fries, but they're probably not my favorite. Curly fries usually are seasoned. I like them, but they're not my favorite.
I'm not big on curlies or waffles.
Crinkle's good. Sonic's doing a crinkle fry now. We picked up some lunch yesterday for the older Brandon boy.
Mm-hmm.
They have crinkle cut fries now. They got rid of their traditional fries. Went with crinkle cut. The crinkle cut's better.
You can only get crinkle now.
Yeah, you can't get original.
Really?
Anymore. At least the one that we went to. No.
Huh.
They're introducing the crinkle cut.
I don't like curlies or waffles. And steak fries. Fries are normally.
What's your problem with
good.
Waffle fries?
Yeah, I like waffles.
I just don't really. I think they get real soggy in the middle.
Yeah, I don't. They're not my favorite. But again, I like all fries. What was the other one you said? Steak fries. Steak fries are good. Not my favorite. What would you just call a McDonald's fry? Is that just
like a
normal
a shoestring fry?
It's not really shoestring.
Well, it's more shoestring than steak or a
traditional fry.
A traditional, maybe.
Yeah,
I would go traditional fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go traditional fry. I like all fries, but I'd go traditional over the others, I think.
And my wife is she's a fry connoisseur. She loves it.
Really? Yeah. Where's her favorite?
She loves Beck's.
They say it's just crispy fry.
Yeah, she loves Beck's.
Those are the best. Okay, hot take. Beck's fries are better than Beck's hamburgers. Sorry, I said.
And the sleeper, because she normally gets them for the kids, but then she likes them too, is Zaxby's.
Those are crinkle cut.
Yep.
My favorite crinkle cut fries are Culver's.
Culver's is pretty hard to beat.
Philip 68 says tots or fries.
Oh, fries over tots.
I'm fries over tots unless it's Sonic. Then I'm going to go tots over fries.
Yeah. Sonic's tots are way better than their fries.
But they have new fries.
Again, my wife made me a connoisseur on this, too. The medallions, the tot medallions, are better than the actual tots.
What's a tot medallion?
It's more like a...
That's kind of like what Chick-fil-A does at breakfast,
it's like
right?
a coin yeah. shape.
Oh.
Yeah.
But again, because I'm a stickler for the crispiness, and the coins get... Or the medallions get a little crispier on the outside.
Yeah, I'll go either one. I probably like the traditional tater tot more than the medallion, but the medallion's very, very good. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind the sogginess too much. Keith, is a potato wedge considered a fry?
I think it is.
See, I'm not gonna. I don't think so.
It depends on how thick the thickness of the cut of the wedge.
Yeah, I'm gonna go no on that one.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think the wedge is a fry. I mean, you're getting a quarter of the potato. I don't think it's a fry. I don't think it's a fry.
Is it as much as a quarter?
I mean, it's pretty big.
I would say more like an eighth, but
I don't know.
Nonetheless, you get a whole lot of potato. The doughiness of the potato, I'm not big on.
4072. What is your guys' go to hangover fast food after a heavy night of drinking? Well, Gentle Ben, you don't get those, but
it's true. Potato craftsmanship.
So I guess this is that night, not the next morning, because it's next morning. Give me a little bit of babacoa or my noodle. If it's that night.
Chinese food really is.
Yeah, but are they open at 2 a.m.?
Mai's, when I lived in Midtown, Mai's was open. There were a couple. But in Midtown, Katz's was, because it never closes, too. Katz's was really good. Hit the spot.
I wouldn't say it's fast food, though.
But it's not. You're right.
Jack in the Box?
My fast food's Whataburger.
Whataburger at 2 a.m.? You're going to wait a long time.
You do. That is true.
Jack in the Box, two tacos, egg roll, seasoned curly. What up? All right.
Whataburger, I would go two doubles with cheese and fries.
What up? I haven't had Jack
it's
in the
like
Box.
Jeremy was hitting so on Jack long. In the Box there.
So long. 3311, Joel.
Girl?
Do you think the 90s Rockets left any championships on the table, or are there any moves that they made that you can point to or should have made that could have got them a few more rings?
I don't think so while I was there. I think they actually exhausted everything that they had to be as good as they were. I think you had Dream, and especially the 95 team just had a whole bunch of role players, and then kind of Clyde saved the day. But the fact that that championship, even with OT and all the perfect role players they had, I think they just maximized the talent they had. I don't think there were any moves out there that might have given them more, because there were a whole lot of good teams at that time.
Yeah, plus they made moves to bring guys in. Like, they won one, made a move for Drexler, won another, made the move for Pippen, made the move for Barkley. So I wouldn't say that there was any moves that they made poorly. Now, here's something that's going to trigger Houston and Rocket fans. Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I've had those conversations way too many times. But, yeah, I mean, look, from the standpoint of limiting you and how many you could have won, when he came back and then when he got right, he's tough to beat. And you can ask Stockton and Malone and Peyton and Kemp and all those other teams, too. But at the same time, I do believe that they would have won if Jordan would have stayed in the game.
I think so, too. But I don't think they left any on the table.
No.
And Jordan never eliminated them from the playoffs. Now, they were eliminated by teams that eventually got eliminated by Jordan. I think two was kind of their max. 6860, breakfast tacos or regular tacos?
Ooh. Man.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
That is a tough one.
I'm going regular tacos. Tough. Very, very tough.
It is.
But I'm going to go regular over breakfast.
Hard or soft?
It depends on what I'm eating. Usually soft.
Yeah, I like the soft tacos. And but, man, breakfast tacos.
It's easy breakfast for me.
I think I'm going breakfast tacos as well.
What is your breakfast taco that you're going to?
I'm going the cheese, bacon, onions, and I'm good.
You're picking that over
barbacoa, man.
I mean, barbacoa could be any day.
I know, but when I get breakfast tacos, barbacoa is my number one.
There's a great spot on 1314 in Porter next to an appliance rental place.
Yeah, that's you out, mentioned
that's
it before.
Out by,
I still need to get
Highland
there.
Pines. Porter?
Not that close. Kind of, but not really. Okay. It's on the opposite side
that's
of the highway.
That's out a ways from me.
The, what you just listed sounds great, but let me one-up you. Let me out-Whataburger you here for a second. The best fajitas in town with some really good wok, throw in some really good salsa on top of it. If you like your onions, cool. If you like your veggies, cool. Throw them on there as well. That's better than any breakfast taco you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, if you make it fajitas, then it's a different story for me, but... But, yeah, I love breakfast, and I love the melted cheese with the potatoes and the eggs and everything like that. So, I'm good. And the bacon. So, I'm good.
Barbacoa or carnitas?
Carnitas.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Barbacoa for me.
Not even close for me, barbacoa. Yeah, definitely not carnitas. I like carnitas, but not as much as barbacoa. Chili cheese fries or Frito pie? I like how our mailbag question today is just all food. It's making me very hungry.
I'll take the chili cheese fries. I'm not a big fan of the Frito pie.
Yeah. I like Frito pie, but I'm not picking it over chili cheese fries. Chili cheese fries easy. But here's the trouble, though, with the chili. Well, really, for both. You have to eat it immediately.
Yep.
Otherwise,
more so with fries.
The fries
though.
Are gonna. Yeah, I mean,
both are gonna get soggy. The both are gonna get soggy.
But I mean, like if I'm making it myself, I'll go with the Frito pie. If I'm going somewhere else, I'll go with the fries. But I think the fries get soggier quicker.
Maybe quicker, but both are in danger of being soggy. So go ahead and eat them fresh because they do get very soft, and it ruins them both.
It really does.
Like, it's not nearly as good once they get soggy. So you better eat these
fresh.
See,
but going back to the fry question, if fries are made properly, I don't need to pour a bunch of chili and cheese over them to make them good.
Oh, facts. Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about it. I like a good old classic fry with nothing on it. But you can doctor up some mediocre fries.
Oh, for
sure. I like ketchup on fries.
Yeah, I'm saying, but that's what I need on my fries.
Do you put ketchup on a chili cheese fry?
No.
Will you put mustard on a chili cheese fry?
No.
Really? I know some people that would put the mustard on
a
chili cheese
fry. I am not a big fan of mustard.
I could take it or leave it. I usually order my burgers easy mustard.
I don't have any mustard on my burgers.
I'll usually have it easy mustard.
No mustard or mayo on my burgers.
Would Houston have won 6 rings if we picked Jordan over Akeem? Interesting.
I thought the question was always, would you get Jordan? What was the one where the guy said that there was a possibility you could have had Jordan, Clyde, and Akeem if you didn't take Roddy McRae?
There's a couple scenarios you could have. You could have drafted Clyde the year that they drafted Roddy McRae, or there was the rumor that because Portland wanted a center so bad that they would have been willing to trade the number 2 pick and Clyde Drexler for Ralph Sampson.
Whew, would have done that in a heartbeat.
So you would have had pick 1 and 2. You take Akeem. You take Jordan. Clyde Drexler's involved in the trade. He would have been there. But this question is, would Houston have won 6 rings if Houston picked Jordan over Akeem? So you never have Akeem. You draft Jordan with the number 1 pick in that draft.
Hard for me to say that they wouldn't have, just because of I am in the corner of Michael being the greatest of all time, and I will not waver on that. And as great as Akeem is, was, and has been, and will always be, Michael, as the greatest player of all time, would have found a way to win a lot.
So you would have had to, like, how much did Phil Jackson come into play? Like, could Jordan have won all of the titles without Phil Jackson? Probably. Probably, at least
I'm not a big a proponent of Phil Jackson being the greatest coach of all time because he inherited and walked into a lot of made-to-win-now situations.
But they hadn't won before he got there.
No, like the Chicago aspect of that early with the Doug Collins experiment and the Stan Albecks and the teams like that, they needed a more modernized coach. But yet they still used the triangle. But I still think Phil walked into Shaq and Kobe. Phil walked into Michael and Pip. And now he's got he turned it into the greatest winning record of all time.
I give him the most credit for Chicago because they hadn't won whenever he was. He was an assistant or Collins too. I think
the final year he was a longtime CBA coach, and then he might have been on the bench. Yeah.
So the Bulls hadn't won anything before he took over as the head coach.
They made the playoffs, but they petered out.
Yeah. I give him more credit for Chicago than I do L.A.
Oh, for sure, because that L.A. team with Kobe and Shaq was already, and all the other pieces they had, was ready to win.
I guess where I'm going with this is, what helped Jordan win all those titles? Yes, 98% of that was all on Michael Jordan, but what did Chicago do to aid him in winning titles that would have needed to happen in Houston? You would have to complete the roster. I think completing the roster is kind of easy. Maybe like another really good player next to him?
I was going to say, you needed to find him a Scotty.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think you had that yet. Like, if you're not drafting Olajuwon, like, Samson kind of, fizzled out, you didn't have that player yet.
No.
So you would have had to find that guy somewhere.
You had to find a Scotty first. You're right. The role players, the Craig Hodgeses and the Kerrs and the Paxsons, those guys are going to fall into place. Look, he made fun all the time of his bigs couldn't do much, but they did enough. You could find bigs that want to play with Michael, too. But you'd have to find a general manager, and you'd have to find his Robin.
Yeah, and an adequate coach. Like, you can't have a coach who's just awful. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think Jackson's best thing was, like, he was able to get the most out of the team. I don't think it was X's and O's and strategy. I think it was more philosophy with Jackson.
Well, and the triangle was big.
Psychology.
To kind of bring them all into it, actually running a system. Because unlike LeBron and some of the guys today, Michael wasn't big on, like Kobe was, about calling the plays and doing all that stuff. Now, in crunch time, he would have plenty to say. But he wasn't the kind of demanding offensive kind of coach on the floor guy from that perspective calling plays that Kobe and LeBron were.
Somebody said Taco Flores, 1960 in Humble. I've been to Taco Flores. It's good. But Tita's is better, and it's also in Humble. So that's tough to beat.
Tita's is fantastic.
Best fajitas. Ooh. I go Guadalajara lime beef fajitas. I think there's an upper echelon of fajitas in the city. I think you have to put Spanish flour there. I think you have to put Valencia's there. I think you have to put Papacitos.
Really, really
Papacitos
good.
Belongs on the list.
I love
Pimpas belongs on the list. El Tiempo belongs on the list.
I love Papacitos queso. I love their chips. I love their salsa. And I love their fajitas.
Honey Glazed Branham says, my mother strongly disagrees with you, Branham. She loves a good Frito pie. Does Honey Glazed Branham work with his mother? And is his mother the one that he's always complaining about? I think I'm onto something.
Maybe.
5742, chili cheese dog or regular hot dog?
I could do chili cheese dog on that, but I also like to doctor up a hot dog the right way, and that's not involving mustard.
One of each. I like one of each. Here's my hot dog take. I feel like they have the wrong relish whenever they serve you up a hot dog. Like, whenever you go get a hot dog, like at a ball game or whatever they sell hot dogs, what is the relish they give you?
Green.
They give you sweet relish.
Green sweet relish, yeah.
The pickled relish is way better than the sweet relish. Pickled relish belongs on a hot dog. I hate sweet relish on a hot dog. The fact that it's the most popular relish when you buy a dog is criminal. It is a shame.
Yeah, I'm not.
It should be dill relish next to a hot dog every single time. It's a travesty.
Now, and truth be told, at the Old County Stadium in Milwaukee, they had a barbecue sauce that was their own whatever recipe of it. But that barbecue sauce with hot dogs or brats and the chopped onions, woo, all world.
Phillip 68, have you tried the nacho fries at Taco Bell?
My wife loves them.
I think
and they discontinued them.
Yeah, I don't think they're very good. I mean, they're okay. And then Josh from Sheebook, have y'all tried poutine?
What is that?
I have. He describes it for us. It's fries topped with brown gravy and melting cheese curds. I had it in Indy. I've had it at a couple spots. Indy was like the best one I had, though.
Sounds like it's a little much.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
It's so good. I don't know why it hasn't caught on here. It is fantastic.
So it's brown gravy and cheese.
Yeah, a little like cheese curds usually.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I love it. It's fantastic. You can doctor it up a little bit more than that, too. Yeah, it's very good. I love it. It's fantastic. All right, 713-780-ESPN. That does it for the mailbag. You can ask us questions next week. The Caitlin Clark double standard that we're seeing, it is annoying me to no end. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Loot and Raider rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm tired of the overreaction we're seeing on one Caitlin Clark. Kennedy Carter, Bush League, not a basketball play, a little bit of a hip check the other day. And everybody's calling racism. Everybody's talking about Caitlin Clark's sexual orientation. People were saying that she got assaulted on the basketball floor. The overreaction to me is insane. And then the double standard on top of it is insane as well. This stuff happens all the time in sports. Like, Caitlin Clark is a draw. Caitlin Clark's going to get other players that she's going up against. She's going to get their best game. She's going to get their attention. She's going to get those other players fired up. Just like in every other sport, whenever you go up against one of the best in another sport or one of the biggest stars or a player that you feel is overrated and you want to show them up, you always get this sort of thing, whether it's chippiness, whether it's a little bit of showboating, whether it's a little taunting, whether it's saying a bad word to a player. Like, Kennedy Carter's getting crushed because she said a bad word to Caitlin Clark. Do you know what happens on an athletic field or a basketball court? Bad words are said, but they're women. They're women, so they shouldn't be saying these bad words. Was Kennedy Carter a little bit out of line? Sure. Was it a Bush League play? Sure. Should it have been upgraded to a flagrant? Sure. Should she have maybe been ejected? Maybe. I could see that a little bit as well. But the overreaction of some of the extremes that we're hearing because of a little bit of a slightly dirty play is insane.
The fact of the matter is, we talked about this a week or two ago, and she was anointed because of her great college career as essentially being the greatest player in the WNBA. And there were great players in the WNBA, like Breonna Stewart, like Diana Taurasi, who basically, in Taurasi's case, she had 9 threes on opening night and got no coverage, no publicity, nothing. She's 40 years old, and she's still doing it. And she's like, time out. Before she can be anointed the greatest, what about those of us that are still playing and playing at a high level? Breonna Stewart's won multiple MVPs and all that other stuff. So you knew going in that it wasn't like the whole league was just going to lay down and bow down and say, well, she's the greatest. Here you go. Go do it. And let's get out of her way. They're competitive. They have egos. They're not backing down. And I don't understand why people forget so quickly. When LeBron came into the league, he got beat down. It was the same thing. Oh, he's the king? Well, let's see if the king can take the punishment. Let's see if the king can play with grown men. Michael, they had the Jordan rules because the fact of the matter was you might be the most gifted athlete that floats through the air, but can you float when you got your butt on the ground because you got knocked down in the middle of the lane? This is part of the process to where I've said she's going to get there to a certain point if she has the ability to be considered at a certain level in the WNBA. She ain't there yet. And no one's going to hand it to her. She's got to earn it, and this is part of it.
Yeah, this Caitlin Clark is the only reason you're talking about the WNBA. Yes, it's true, but should that mean that we're protecting the golden goose and that they shouldn't allow to be competitive with her or talk a little trash or give her a little bit of a hip check? Caitlin Clark actually played 2 games this past week. She played a game yesterday in which she did nothing. They got blown out. There was zero controversy, and we're still talking about her previous game. So if you want to talk about, like, ratings, you want to talk about attention, you want to talk about, like, bringing intrigue into the WNBA, every story has a bad guy. Every good story has a protagonist and an antagonist. When you had a little boring blowout yesterday, nobody cared. So you could use that same argument, 1711, Caitlin Clark's the only reason that you're talking about the WNBA, with yesterday's game, too. If she has blowout, nothing happens in the game, there's zero intrigue there. So we can thank Kennedy Carter for throwing a little bit of a hip check. All of a sudden, you got some controversy, you got a little bit of drama, and now we're also talking about that game and getting fouled to the floor with a little bit of a hip check. What even a tough foul? So it goes both ways. Yes, Caitlin Clark is the only reason we're talking WNBA, but it's also the only reason we're talking about this right now because there was some controversy and drama in the game that happened over the weekend.
Kudos to her for at least sucking it up and not doing what she had done at Iowa, which is complain and you know, go extra And she's taken it for the most part. You know, she's taken her beating, and she's going about her business. And that's the smart way to handle this, because the more that you draw your own ire of it, then the more people are going to continue to do it because they know they can get to you. But at the same time, I'm wondering, too, because everyone's talking about this, how long Monica McNutt has a job on ESPN. You see that?
That was awesome.
Kudos to her for standing up to Stephen A and going back at him. If you missed it, Stephen A was like, no one talks more WNBA than First Take. No one talks more than this show. And Monica said, respectfully, Stephen A, why didn't you do that 3 years ago? Yeah. Why weren't you doing it then? And he went, wow. And he shook his head. He got all upset. And it was like, ooh, because, you know, he's got the people that he gets into it with are people that aren't long for either that network and or that show. So it's going to be interesting how he handles it, because he and McAfee got in it. Now, McAfee wasn't allowed on the show. Before that, Kellerman, he didn't like Kellerman, got him removed. He likes to throw his power around. He doesn't like it when people stand up to him, but kudos to her for making a great point.
This text says, what people should really be talking about is how she and the Fever have played twice as many games as everyone else. I literally could not care less about that. Gents, the WNBA wants views. They need to let these flagrant fouls fly. If the WNBA turns into the 90s era NBA, I'm watching. That's what I'm saying. Like, the hard fouls are more intriguing. It's going viral on the internet. Caitlin Clark had a dump of a game yesterday. She was awful. One for six, whatever. They got beat by 40. No one talked about that game. But we're talking about a little bit of a hip check that led to Caitlin Clark flailing on the floor, because this is intriguing. Flagrant fouls and controversy and drama is better for the Golden Goose.
You know what's interesting to me on this whole thing? Where were her teammates?
Yeah, that was the Matt Barnes argument. Matt Barnes, like, where are the teammates? Where are Caitlin Clark's teammates while she's getting, you know, hammered to the floor?
Yeah, I can't stand Matt Barnes. I didn't hear what he had to say. But the first thing I'm thinking about is whether she's their golden goose or the league's golden goose. As a teammate, you don't just go pick her up. You go and at least shove the girl or have words with Kennedy, whatever her last name is, but for knocking her down. And this isn't the first time this has happened this year. Where are her teammates?
Yeah, Barnes was like, they need an enforcer. They need somebody to back her up, which I do agree with. That is kind of weird that they're not there for her. I don't know why. I don't know where her teammates are there. Lamont says, I don't think the Kennedy shove was that bad, but I didn't like, one, the bench cheering like they hit the lottery. You had like Angel Reese was cheering
off the bench. Loving.
Yeah, that was. But why? Because she's the star, she's the Golden Goose, and you're trying to attack the star. Like, this is common. Like, this is kind of Yao Ming, Shaquille O'Neal. Remember whenever Yao came to the league and Shaq, like, he was going to, you know, do his best to, like, embarrass him and throw down a jam on his face, and he yelled in his face, and then Yao Ming did the same thing and then yelled right back at him. Now, they weren't taking, you know, dirty fouls or cheap shots or anything like that, but it's similar to that. You have, like, this big megastar that you want to show, like, hey, you don't belong here, or B, you want to prove that you're better than that person.
Well, but think about it from the Angel Reese perspective, too. Everything I said about the current WNBA players that were getting ready to play Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, it's more magnified because she was the face everybody was talking about in college basketball, for women's college basketball, until Caitlin Clark came. And then when they had the rivalry games, the big games that everybody was watching to see who would play, well, when she won, she got criticized because she started doing the ring on the finger and she started talking mess. And then all of a sudden, Caitlin Clark broke all these records, and then they won, and then they got to the championship game, and Angel Reese wasn't as big of a deal anymore. Of course, it's a fire and a competitiveness. She wants to be there, too.
Angel Reese did say some stuff last year that probably adds some fuel to the fire when it comes to this. But yes, 1779, wasn't Bill Laimbeer a WNBA coach for a while?
He was.
Out of retirement. Apologies if he's dead. I don't think he's dead.
He's not dead. He coached Vegas.
9012, we're not going to read that. Maybe on Friday we'll read that. That's the thing. Like, I don't watch a whole lot of WNBA basketball. Mega Blast is saying I watch way more WNBA basketball than you do. You don't know what you're talking about. Congratulations for watching more WNBA basketball than I do. But I did see some, like, people reacting to this that have watched a lot of WNBA basketball, and they say that the WNBA is very chippy and physical. Like, I don't know that to be the case.
I don't know. I do know that they highlighted, and I recall that this was a big Twitter thing, that Kennedy's track record may have had something to do with it, too, that she has a track record of, she was in Atlanta, she was a top four pick, and she threatened a lot of her teammates, and they were at like a food truck or something like that, and she tried to beat the hell out of one of her teammates.
She got dismissed from Atlanta for wanting to do that, and then she was like, I think she was with the Sparks maybe?
And they said, again, she got contract released. Detrimental, and they cut her again.
Yeah, so she is a little bit of a, you know, the Dennis Rodman of the WNBA, but I'm here for it. Like, I want the fights. I want the drama. I want the intrigue.
If you want to take the league to the next level, it literally sells.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch the games, but I want to see it go viral on TikTok later. All right, I'm tired of hearing more me get off my lawn type of stuff. I'm tired hearing about Ryan Pressly's poor luck. Everybody, oh, he's so unlucky. I'm tired of hearing it. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something I'm never tired of is Gentle Ben. Pena, he called us earlier and painted, yep, Gentle Ben doesn't miss. It doesn't. Gentle Ben's fantastic. It's perfect. It is the very best. And it all starts with the finest ingredients, classic time-honored distilling methods. Gentle Ben uses their innovative process that removes the harshness that you find in most spirits. The result? Unparalleled smoothness and an enjoyable drinking experience with Gentle Ben. You get all the flavor, none of the burn. You'll love what's not in it, including undesirable acids. These acids take the enjoyment out of your drinks. Well, Gentle Ben gets rid of the undesirable acids so you can always enjoy. Gentle Ben offers vodka, gin, straight bourbon, whiskey, cast strength bourbon. All are fantastic. All are in my rotation. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store. Ask for it when you're out to dinner or you're at the bar, or just head to the tasting room in Alvin. Stop by the tasting room. Have a great spot to have some Gentle Ben. If you're going to an Astros game soon, Uncle Barney was at an Astros game. He took a picture in front of the Gentle Ben bar over the weekend. You can stop by the Gentle Ben bar just to the left of the Crawford boxes on your way to your seats. Or maybe you don't get out very much. That's okay. Go online, gentleben.com, learn the story, but also order Gentle Ben. Have it delivered straight to your doorstep. You can do that at gentleben.com. Smoothest, honest, Gentle Ben.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.